Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast.
Spookies.
Jeez. You guys are a handful. So, without further ado, welcome to the Casual Comics Cast, everybody. Hi, I'm Joe. I'm your friendly casual comics guy here to talk comic books with my buddies, Jeff.
Hi, everybody.
And Michael.
Hi, guys.
Jeff, you're not having such a groovy time right now.
You're a groovy guy. I'm perfectly wonderful, Joe. Why would you say that?
All right, buddy. We're here for you. Right, Michael?
I'm definitely here for you, Jeff.
Okay.
Anything you need.
Aw, y'all are the best.
So rather than completely preparing for everything, I wanted to talk about some comic book news. So I looked it up just a minute ago. Batman opening soon. You guys excited for Batman?
So always. I got a text about this earlier that Ryan said it's going to sell out. And so he would reserve me a seat if I wanted.
Really? When is he going? When are you going to see Batman with Ryan?
On Thursday.
Really? It's that soon?
I believe so.
No. It doesn't open till March. What Thursday are you going?
Well, that's a great question. The 10th. It says 2/10.
What?
The Batman goes on sale on 2/10 for the March 3rd showing, which is on a Thursday night.
I was like,
correction.
If Ryan's getting in to see the Batman that early and he's not even hosting a podcast, I'm doing something really wrong here.
He's got an in with Robin or something. I know he's tricky like that.
Yeah, exactly. So level of interest in the Batman.
Michael, I'm in.
You're in.
Yeah, I'm totally in.
Jeff?
Remembering how I got burned on Batman and Robin, I am cautiously optimistic.
What does Batman and Robin, the whole Dark Knight trilogy was in the intervening period.
I know, but I still have pain from that experience.
You and I saw Batman and Robin in the theater.
I know, and it was horrible.
The mop foo.
Oh, God, it was so bad. So mop bad.
Foo? What is a mop foo?
Robin, for some reason, is like, if I remember this scene, I have not seen it since that day, is he's doing some cleaning and he like starts whipping the mop around like if it was a weapon, how he would use it. He's like, oh, here's mop foo.
Yeah.
Is that also the one where Batman has a bat credit card?
Yep. And nipples.
I remember the nipples.
And bat butt close-ups. Yeah, just.
I don't have a problem with any of these things. I love credit cards, butt cheeks, nipples. It's fine. We're just humans.
Well, then you'll love Saga.
Yeah, that's a great segue into what we're actually supposed to be talking about.
Spoiler alert coming soon. The other news that I'm seeing here, Jeff, The Flash, like a huge fan of the TV show. Jesse L. Martin revealed Tom Cavanaugh will once again reprise his role as Reverse Flash.
That's not surprising at all.
Do you want to, Michael, do you watch The Flash?
No, we've talked about this. Jeff, I do have a question, though.
Oh, go ahead. You go for it.
Well, I was just going to say, if you're a big Flash fan, are you a flasher? Is that a thing? did I just like dad joke everybody on that?
You did, but you flash so quickly, nobody can really even see it.
That's technically correct, right, Jeff? When he changes from his civilian clothes into his super outfit, he just quick changes and gets down to his bare buff skin and then redresses that quickly.
I would imagine, because you don't see like VPL or anything on him.
Right. It's all smooth. Down
visible
there.
Panty line.
I was like, VPL.
What I could
VPL?
See you.
VPL.
Like Superman and Batman wear their underwear on the outside, so you don't see the lines, the line. Visible panty,
panty line.
Flash has no outer.
Don't you just call it a panty line? I didn't know it was visible panty line. Like girls just call that a panty line.
Well,
that just option regional thing, I guess.
Yeah, must be. It's like how they got regional Girl Scout cookies. You guys call it the VPL, and I call it just a regular old panty line.
Can I get 3 boxes of VPL, please?
Something like that.
Michael didn't even blink when I said something about the Reverse Flash of who is the Reverse Flash. That's what I thought your question was going to be about, but we can skip by that. But do you want to tell Michael real quickly, like in the comic books, where does Flash keep his costume?
The Flash keeps his costume in his ring right there. And it has a little latch on it. You push it and it pops open like a locket.
Like a parachute comes out?
And well, kind of. His uniform springs out and he runs into his suit, essentially vibrates into it. Because there are no seams or zippers, he has to vibrate through it to get into his costume.
This makes perfect sense to me.
Right? It totally does.
Yeah. I have no questions.
Is that how he does it in the show?
They finally did it like last season. I was so thrilled. I was like, yes, yes. Oh, even though the show has kind of gone downhill, it's jumped the shark.
How many seasons is it now, though?
We're going into season 8.
Okay, that's a lot of seasons, though.
Next year, I think, is season.
Is that the longest running DC show that you know? Is like how long did Arrow run? Any idea?
I think it was about 7 or 8 years itself, because it was a couple of years in before they brought Flash on board.
I mean, like in the comic, like Flash and Green Arrow are best buds, right?
Flash and Green Lantern are best buds.
That's where I was
always a little out there.
That's true.
Political opinions and whatnot.
All right. Well, that's the news I have. We're going to take a quick break and we will be back with a couple comic book reviews for newbies, people who may not have read some of these books. And we'll talk about what we thought of these books and whether they might be good entry points for people who are interested in picking up a new comic book. So we'll be right back.
Oh, my stars and garters. You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast.
All right. I picked a couple comics for us to read this week. And before we begin, we're going to start talking about Saga by Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples. Just want to give some background on like why, you know, I was like, hey, here, let's pick this up. So Saga is a comic book series that started publication, I believe, in 2013. After issue 54, they declared that to be like the halfway point of the story and they went on hiatus. So they were on hiatus from 2018 until just like 2 weeks ago, beginning of 2022, they came back to finish the story. The Saga series has sold over 6.8 million copies to date across all formats, has been translated into 20 languages. The series has huge critical acclaim, one of the most celebrated American comics being published, has an average score of 9.0 out of 10 at Comic Book Roundup, the aggregator. First issue got promoted in Publishers Weekly, Time Magazine, Comics Alliance, all praising Brian K. Vaughan, the writer, his ability to incorporate elements of different genres, establishing setting mythology. 2013, Saga won the 3 Eisner Awards, basically the comic book equivalent of the Academy Awards. It won for Best Continuing Series, Best New Series, and Best Writer. That year, the first trade paperback got the 2013 Hugo Award for Best Graphic Story, nominated for 2013 7 Harvey Awards, winning 6, Best Writer, Best Artist, Best Color, Best New Series, Best Limited Series, Best Single Issue Story. And over time, it has just become this thing that this comic can do no wrong. Brian K. Vaughan has been asked about adapting this for TV. There's talks underway about making this into a TV series. Merchandise has been flying off the shelves. I believe Supernatural, the TV show, had a character wearing the Lion Cat t-shirt. Felicia Day, who's on the show, called Saga the best comic book ever, and also have had references to it in The Big Bang Theory. So Saga's everywhere and Saga's back. And you guys just read the first issue. How amazed were you?
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. There's just, it grabs you right away. It doesn't waste any time. And it just totally runs. And I'm being very sarcastic.
I was waiting for the moment of pause where I could be like, and in spite of all of that critical acclaim, Jeff hated it.
Oh, I wasn't gonna spoil Jeff's review. So Jeff, I asked you to grab the bull by the horns on this one. There's a lot of innuendos. Well, and I mean, think about Saga. Ram. There's a Taco Bell commercial featuring two dudes dressed as Marco. That's how like pervasive this comic is they're using the characters in Taco Bell ads. And I was like,
seen that.
I was like, I wonder how people would feel about reading it for the first time ever, knowing that it's huge. It's just made a comeback and it hit with you, did it?
Okay. All my cards on the table. I wasn't in the best mood when I read this comic. Okay. So the notes that I took were, okay, this and then this, and then, oh, I just don't care about this story at all.
I'll take some ownership too, that I did not warn either of you that this is like a hard adult NC-17 comic book from panel one, pretty much.
Boy, isn't it though? I mean, there's a little bit of peen there. There's a little, there's a whole
I
lot
missed the
of
peen. I must have missed the peen.
It was there.
There's full frontal nudity of people who have robot or who have TV sets for their heads.
I did write a lot of notes about the TV heads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jeff, you like, and you don't have to blame it on not being in a great mood, man. It's this book's no, only
that's for... why I was angry about it.
I mean, this book is only like everybody loves it, so but not everybody has to.
I know, but I'm the one guy that brings down that average.
I did write down that I felt like if this were a TV show, I would have been instantly like, yep, I'm into this show.
I kind of agree.
Yeah.
It starts just like any good HBO Max series would, just right into the swearing and nudity and let's go.
Well, I mean, it opens with a hardcore, like, I'm giving birth scene, mm-hmm. which is not how a hardcore HBO show starts. It was like, she's pushing a baby out in a body shop and worried about defecating on her child. I was like, I read it on my phone, so the panels are really small and I have 20/20 vision, but I was like, does that say she's worried about she's worried about shit? And I was like leaning in, I'm like, oh yeah, that's what it says. And because I didn't totally know what was going on. It's like right in the first, you know, couple of panels. So interesting. It was,
yeah, it's the very first page is a giant splash page of her swearing while in labor. The story of Alana and Marco, mm-hmm. two star-crossed lovers.
You got it.
Both from different planets. Well, one's from a planet, one's from a moon.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And they've been at war with each other forever to the point where the war spans the galaxy, except pretty much their home planet. And they're giving birth. And how are these two crazy kids who are both on the run going to make it in the universe?
With great difficulty.
Yeah.
Therein lies our story.
Or our saga.
Our saga.
What? Yeah. My notes on it were, I felt like if I, like rereading my notes, they were kind of funny. And there's a lot of characters that don't have names. Or seemingly don't have names. So I'm just like describing ones? What their characters.
Okay, like, so describe from your notes some of the characters you saw. The
flying monkey from The Wizard of Oz.
Yep. There's one.
Okay. Other notes.
He practically dies in the first, like, after he's right introduced, right?
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. not a very long-lived character.
Doesn't need no name.
He don't need no name. Then I've got two TV heads doing it aggressively.
Well, was it aggressively?
Are you kidding? The first panel we get is the word. I'm not even going to go there.
And then I wrote down Crocodile Jeeves.
Crocodile Jeeves.
Butler is an alligator. Crocodile Jeeves. I love that.
I'm going to. That's a great Paul band Hogan name.
And then unicorn head lady.
It's taking Crocodile Dundee, but casting like Sir Robert Gielgud. That's the title.
The media, sir.
I love it. Arthur references.
Oh, I know, from a 40-year-old movie.
Oh man. So yes, there are a ton of alien races. There's a ton to sort of like dissect at the beginning, but it's all narrated by the baby that's being born. Mm-hmm. And there is a name that mm-hmm. ends up being important to the story, is the parents naming this baby.
Are right? we supposed to say the name?
Well, I mean, you can. The
eventual name?
they debated multiple names.
It's not Hope.
It was Pico.
Pico.
And then it was Hope.
Yep. And then it's Hazel.
Then it's Hazel.
Which is a really cute name.
Right. Like the maid on that old sitcom from the 60s.
So what actually did grab you in this story, Jeff? Anything?
You know, I got to be honest. I am the odd person out. This is a huge, huge, huge.
You comic. Texted me last night seeming like you were in crisis. You're like, you're asking me to lead this discussion, but I hate this book with a white hot passion that would spark a million suns.
You're embellishing a little bit. I said it was going to be rough because I hate this book. Okay.
It is a little thick on the mythology right away.
Well, and it's slow to get started. It's slow to get you involved into exactly who these people are, why they're doing what they're doing.
Right.
I mean, about halfway through, they start getting into the explanation of what's going on. But mm-hmm. by that time, I'm just like, I don't care.
Well, and it was, I mean, I will just say there were a couple scenes right off the bat that were kind of gross.
Mm-hmm. like gnawing on the umbilical cord.
That one, I wrote that one down. He's like, "Ooh, I didn't expect it to be so gristly." And I'm like, "Oh." And then they were talking about the difference between ritual and like cultural practices. And they're talking about the wing bleeding for the little baby. And I was like, is this supposed to be about female circumcision? Like, what are we talking about?
Or male circumcision or any kind circumcision. Of alteration.
How terrible.
any kind of medical procedure you do to a baby immediately upon its birth.
Right.
Sounds bad.
Sure does. So, neither of you have ever read this comic before. So for somebody who's thinking about, I'm intrigued. I know, because everybody's hearing about it. If you go into a comic book shop and say, I don't read very many comic books, but I like sci-fi, I like fantasy adventure. Somebody's going to recommend this book to you. Let's start with easy to understand. If you have not read it before, is it like an entry point where you would be like, okay, I don't need to be intimidated by picking this book up, other than be aware, like, boobies and butts everywhere?
I didn't think it was hard to understand. I thought that it was easy, but yeah, be aware that there's some graphic stuff going on.
Yeah, it's graphic, but it's not so cryptic that you can't figure out what's going on after about 5 or 6 pages. If your favorite part of Star Wars is the used, lived-in look, then this book is going to cater right to you, because everything is earth tones and the art style is very sketchy looking. It's not finished, polished art. It's very sketch type drawings. So the color palette is a little bit on the bland side. So right there, you're getting Tatooine and Star Wars and all that kind of stuff. So do you like that kind of thing? Jump in.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of characters and things introduced that you might not make sense. So, like, what did you make of the Will?
I liked his sidekick.
Sidekick, which was?
I wrote a giant Siamese cat.
Yeah, you can't tell if the cat has, when it's drawn, it probably has fur, but it kind of looks like a giant, almost blue hairless cat. And its name is Lying Cat, because it comes
I didn't see that it had a name.
Yeah, they just call it Lying Cat.
Yeah, they did say that.
Oh, lying, not lion. I was like, I don't think it was called a lion cat. Doesn't look like a lion at all, Joe. Lying. He can tell if people are lying. Yes. Okay, I remember.
Yeah, I got to work on my enunciation skills.
Yes, you do.
I'm practicing. This podcast is not perfect.
Is that what this progress. Podcast is for?
It is. It's for me to practice my diction mostly. But yeah, the cat that can, it's like a lie detector. The Will takes the cat everywhere, because if somebody lies to him, the cat's like hisses like lying. So, I mean, that became a pretty popular character in comic book shops. They sell t-shirts and stuff, posters of Lying Cat, which I think is kind of cool. But I mean, they set up the whole, like, the Will is like a bounty hunter, and it's just like, they kind of just, like you said, Jeff, I like that, the lived in. It's like, they're not going to take a lot of time spoon feeding each other. They just expect that you'll catch up, right? Mm-hmm. They start talking about the guild and all this stuff, and you're like, I guess if I stick with it, I'll figure out what that all means over the time.
Right. And I shouldn't complain, because one of my favorite movies is Buckaroo Banzai, and that movie absolutely insists that you just figure it out as you go.
Banzai. That is an amazing take on best movies of all time. Have you seen Buckaroo Banzai, Michael?
I don't know what
you guys are. As the full title would be, The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Fifth Dimension.
I certainly have not. I might Google it, though, to catch up.
Starring Jeff Goldblum as a cowboy. You'll love it.
Yeah. They actually expected that to be a huge franchise, by the way. Maybe we'll read that comic book.
There's a comic book?
Marvel adapted it as a comic book, yes.
The movie was released the year I was born, so I'm going to have to catch up a little bit.
So you didn't see it in theaters?
Correct.
Or maybe you did. You don't remember it.
It's possible. Anything's possible.
We'll ask your mom.
Please do.
All right. We'll have her on next time. We'll have her read the Buckaroo Banzai comic book and help us out with that. She's a Preacher fan, though, right?
She loves Preacher.
We still need to have your mom on to talk to us about Preacher.
I think it's a good idea.
How did she like Invincible? Did she wind up liking that? Not liking it?
I can't remember.
Okay. Gosh, we should just call her right now.
She won't be able to hear the phone. She's sleeping on the couch probably right now.
Oh boy, we've really gone off the rails with Saga here. But Saga is 54 issues, and it just keeps building, keeps building, keeps building. So,
and everyone else but me can't be wrong.
No, that's not true, Jeff. They can be. They can. I mean, there's a lot of. I'm not a fan of the Big Bang Theory. It's probably one of the most popular TV shows around. How I Met Your Mother. Don't care. 2 and a Half Guys. Wait, I'm sensing a theme here of things that I don't like that are popular with almost everybody else in the world.
That could be a, well, not for this podcast.
That could be something. So ultimately, Jeff, your final verdict?
I will not continue to buy it, read it, skim it,
catch up on the recaps.
I will. If they make a TV show, I'll wait for the TV show.
Yep. Wait for the TV show.
I'll give that a try. Not continuing with the comics.
Otherwise, you'll just forget it if possible. You'll be like, I put that out of my mind.
Well, I mean, not so vindictively, but yeah, I'll allow that one to slip into the onto the ash bin of history.
Michael, what about you?
Yeah, I think I want to wait for the TV show too. I liked it. I mean, it wasn't, there weren't, outside of the characters being kind of interesting, weird aliens, it wasn't as if the storyline was totally new and unique. Two people who aren't supposed to be together are together, and everyone's mad that they got together or hunting them down. I don't know. That wasn't sort of like life changing for me. But
well, that's why it works. There's nothing new in Star Wars either, right?
No kidding. Hero's
journey. It's just in space. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, it's not for everybody, but I and I think maybe that's why it's such a popular comic book, is because it's done in an interesting way for people, but it tells the same old story. It tells mm-hmm. the same old story of two people, like I started off talking about, just trying to make their way in the universe and trying to be. Get out there, raise a family, and have the rest of the universe stay out of their way. But life gets in the way.
It's mad about you in space.
Dun, dun, dun. Man, all right. I'm going to leave that there. Enough with the TV references. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will be talking about She-Hulk number one.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. Am I shitting? I feel like I'm shitting.
All right. Well, thanks for sticking with me, gang. And we're here to talk about She-Hulk number one, with there being a Disney Plus TV series coming up that I think when we talked about it with Mark, everybody's pretty excited about the She-Hulk TV series. It's one of those where I'm at the comic book shop and I'm like, oh, new She-Hulk series. People who are interested in the She-Hulk TV series, should they pick up this book? Would it be a good kind of entry point for them to say, hey, you know, I'm kind of interested in this TV series that's coming up. Let me see what this whole She-Hulk thing is about. And Michael, I gave you the task of reading this book. And did you read the show notes?
I was the one who was supposed to read Saga and Jeff was supposed to read She-Hulk.
No.
Nope.
Well, I mean, I read both of them, but I didn't take very good notes on this one because it wasn't a super deep storyline. I could give you the recap fairly easily.
Yeah, I'll read you the notes. Michael to recap the plot and discuss thoughts.
No, Joe. I don't like being told what to do, apparently.
Well, I'm glad you read Saga also. So
I read them both.
That was a twofer. You do. Yeah, you're always good with your homework. You're like an overachiever.
I mean, this one, I took about one third of the notes on this one that I took on the other, but I think that makes sense because the storyline was not complicated.
It's not a complicated, it just kicks off. And Jeff, this is written by Rainbow Rowell, who you might remember.
I sure do. Omaha. She is. She used to write for the Omaha World Herald before she started making her a name in the literary field.
Right. Amazing. You didn't go with the Weird Herald reference?
No, we don't make Cosby references anymore.
Oh, okay. The Michael, the hometown newspaper for Omaha, Nebraska is the Omaha World Herald, which some residents call the Weird Herald.
Oh, that's sweet.
And Rainbow Rowell, who wrote this book, got her start as a columnist and an opinions kind of day in the life.
Slice of life thing, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And so she has over time become she's a novelist, and she's become a pretty well-respected comic book, same kind of thing, slice of life, right? So take us through your journey with She-Hulk, Jennifer Walters, Michael.
Well, if I look at my notes, the first thing I said was that I love her style. She's very 80s. She's got like a power woman suit thing going on, which I'm into.
Yep. Her only one that she owns,
apparently. But she's like down on her luck. It starts off with her. She's, you know, we know She-Hulk is a lawyer, but she's kind of in the rut of, I don't know, her profession or life. And she's sort of as just a regular human before she hulks out, a little bit scrawny and just kind of just down on her luck. And the first interaction you run into is she runs into Titania on the street.
Who do you remember? Do you remember Titania?
I do. Yes, I do.
All right. Well, tell the people who Titania is.
Who also had a really cool costume. But she was a supervillain, though.
She was. And yeah. Where did you encounter her before?
What you're going to make me?
Secret Wars.
Yeah, Secret Wars.
Jeff, give us the Secret Wars.
Secret Wars.
That was Titania's origin.
And her outfit is cool, too.
Right. But it's kind of a cool callback because, I mean, we just kind of talked about Secret Wars not that long ago. That was her origin. And the first thing she wants to do is take down She-Hulk a peg. And she's still at it this many years later.
Yeah. But it's so funny because, I mean, the whole premise is that she's just like, it's not really that she hates She-Hulk. She's just got some frustration and she just likes to like fight it out. And so she confronts She-Hulk on the street. She-Hulk only has one suit. So interestingly enough, I was surprised to see this was probably like the one big unveiling of the whole comic was that She-Hulk was like, I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to just rip through my one nice suit. I'm going to strip down into my boy short underwear in the middle of the street so I can beat Titania's butt.
Right. So, I thought that was clever. I thought that was funny. It's like, I'm not going to rip it. And then Titania is like, you're going to fight me in your underwear? And she's like, I fought you in less.
Well, and it's a question we all have is how do you keep your wardrobe stocked when you are the Hulk or She-Hulk for that matter?
Right. The rest of the clothes shred, the underwear unstable molecules, which is probably the last place you would want unstable molecules is in that region.
You know, that sounds dangerous to me personally, but you know, to each their own. So,
right. So street side confrontation, she's like, let me, this is my only suit. Now we're going to let's go. Let's do this.
But I mean, ultimately where they land on this is like, actually we both really just enjoy fighting. So let's not be enemies and end up in jail. One or the other of us. Let's just make a date every once in a while for us to beat each other's asses so that we can like get out our frustrations, which I think is totally reasonable.
Right.
Very adult conversation.
They just started their own fight club.
Yeah. Exactly what they did. So, but the other character that there's two other characters, I guess, that are key to the storyline. One is, and I didn't write her name down. She's the boss of the She-Hulk.
So, Mallory Book.
Mallory Book. Okay.
Former Miss Utah, current head of this law firm.
Yeah. Okay. What was that about? Like, is this somebody I'm supposed to know who that is? Okay. I was like, former Miss Utah. I'm so confused with why that matters. So anyways, she's this like bossy lady who is putting She-Hulk into a closet to be a lawyer and work at her law practice. And she's just like teeing up that your life here is going to suck. And I'm only employing you, so I don't have to go against you in the courtroom, but there are no perks. This is not a sexy law firm. This is, you know, you being basically,
it's kind of funny at my whim. Cause it's a carry through thread from the last big run on She-Hulk that I read, which is, when she shows up, people are kind of hoping she'll argue law as the big green Hulk monster because they think it'll be good publicity for the law firm. We can generate more clients if everybody knows that She-Hulk is here. So she's got herself a job.
I feel like you get kicked out of the courtroom in reality.
Why?
I don't know. It's distracting.
Yeah.
You'd think that a judge would not allow it.
Using your celebrity to just like blind the jurors to what everybody's talking about. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but just saying, I could see it happening.
The American legal system operates 100% on fact and logic.
Yeah, 100%. That's definitely true.
I have a question about this character.
Yes.
Is it just the way she's drawn, like, for example, shading, or does she have a scar on her face?
Okay, I saw that too. And I thought, oh, former Miss Utah with a big wicked scar on her cheek. There's a story there.
Because even when you see her from far away, she has that little line.
Yeah, but maybe that is what we'll learn if we keep reading, Jeff. Because they definitely didn't go into it in this
one. Well, you talk, and I'm going to look this up because I feel like you're right. There's got to be a story here.
Something going on there.
Of maybe she was a former villain or something like that. I don't know. Maybe she's a current villain. Who knows?
Yeah. So then there are two other characters, I guess it's important to note, were in this. One is Janet Van Dyne, mm-hmm. who was the Wasp.
Yep.
Who is kind of, I'm confused a little. I wasn't sure if she was meant to be sort of a motherly figure to She-Hulk or if they were lovers.
I had the same question.
There was some smoochies there that weren't like how my mom kisses me on the cheek. And I thought, she's letting you stay at her apartment. She's got an end game here.
Really? Because it's pretty clearly on the cheek in the illustration I'm looking
at. Oh, no. Jeff and I both thought that it looked like maybe lovers. So you're the one that's wrong. Other.
That's very continental.
Is she continental?
She's Janet Van Dyne, the Wasp. She's one of the richest women in the United States.
It seemed like she had other intentions. I'm just saying.
I picked up on that vibe, too.
I felt like
guys,
it was like
I
a
think
sugar.
You guys had just read Saga.
You're all ramped up. You're looking for some stuff. I mean, it kind of had like a little bit of a sugar mama vibe, right? Like she brings She-Hulk to her apartment and she's like, you can stay here as long as you want, and use everything in my closet.
So. I mean, you go and fight on Battle World against the world's greatest villains, and then you gossip about how Janet Van Dyne made out with Magneto and stuff like that. You get to be like buddies, and not to mention that of the Avengers, there's not that many women compared to the number of men. They probably like bonded. They're like, ladies got to stay together here.
Listen, I got a lot of girlfriends, and I don't kiss any of my girlfriends like Janet Van Dyne kissed She-Hulk.
Do you kiss any of them on the cheeks? So yeah, period.
Maybe I could if I wanted.
But you don't.
I could. But I'm just saying, if I did, it wouldn't be like this.
If I did, it wouldn't be like that. That's how I kissed Jeff on the cheeks the first time we went to Chicago together.
When Jeff was on top. Or wait.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
You guys can't tell me anything. You know that, right?
That's out of control. That's out of order. This whole courtroom is out of order.
And it's somebody called the She-Hulk. It's way out of context.
That's out of context. That's what makes it fun.
Okay, so wait.
Right, back to the She-Hulk. There's nothing funny going on there. They're friends.
I feel like you don't know what you don't know yet. Because if you kept reading in the series, do you actually know? Or is this
the first issue. It just came out like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, then you don't know. You don't know. It could be anything.
I know.
2022, things. Man. We're free in a free world.
I'm not saying that it couldn't be. I'm saying it's not. I'm saying you're still stuck in this whole world of, you don't understand the relationship they have as Avengers. They're like comrades in arms.
Maybe you don't understand.
She's like, I'm super rich. And she tells her, I've got this apartment I haven't used in forever, because she's got apartments everywhere. She's got Ferraris everywhere. She's got, what's up? She's like, go ahead, hang out. And it looks like Jennifer Walters had lived there before too, because there's still a bunch of She-Hulk sized clothes in the closet.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Agree to disagree. We'll see what happens.
You stick with it. Will we see what happens?
Maybe.
Not in this issue.
Maybe now I will, just to prove you wrong when they are lovers. So.
Okay. Well, and so I mean, it's a light story. It's nothing heavy. It's a little light banter. It's some quippy. It's kind of funny in parts. Little comment.
And great outfits.
Great outfits.
It had a little bit of like a Glow vibe, like the TV show Glow.
Oh yeah,
remember that? Yeah, that. Which makes perfect sense for She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a character I didn't know at the end, Jack of Hearts.
I will learn more about the character at some point. All I know is what it says in the caption here. So She-Hulk looks, things are looking up for her. She's got a job. It's not a great job. She's
got a sugar mama.
She's got a really nice apartment to live in, full of clothes. She gets in for a hot soak. Like you do, especially if you've been fighting Titania. Get in for a hot soak. She's feeling pretty good about herself. And then the Jack of Hearts character shows up. And all I know is what it says right here. Jonathan Hart, Jack of Hearts, formerly dead. And then, dun, 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 to be continued. So with that, to be continued, will it be continued for you? Tell me.
Are you
going to buy this book? Are you going to keep reading it? Are you gonna, what are you going to do?
I mean, I would keep reading it. I mean, I don't know that I'm gonna like run to the comic book shop to buy the next issue, but
you didn't even run to the comic book shop to buy. You read these all on your phone.
I went to the comic book shop a few times and I bought some stuff.
Oh, I've been there.
Saying. It's right. not the value I bring to the podcast. It's not as the person who knows the top of the shelf new edition of everything.
That's fine. Sure. Everybody's got their own way to read comic books. There's no judging. I think we should do a podcast at some point about reading comic books digitally, because I'll tell you what, when we talk to Dan Davis, who actually creates comics for a living, he loves digital. He's like, it's the best thing that ever happened. I'm like, how can you, the guy who draws Garfield for a living, be like, I mean, he's a comic book creator, and I would have thought for all my life that if you're in the business of drawing and writing and creating comic books, you would want your book printed. He's like, I love digital comics. Best thing that ever happened.
The overhead's different. I mean, it's so much more expensive to produce a comic that you have to print.
But I also think he's a fan. What he said is he's a fan of reading them that way. He likes reading them that way, because if you were to look behind me, you would see thousands of comic books just sitting here waiting to be put in a box somewhere to not create clutter. It can be a very messy hobby.
Yeah.
There's one thing I'd like to say about digitally creating comic books.
Yeah. What's that?
That I kind of don't care for. And that is, you have all this great artwork and then you get to the lettering, and the lettering looks like a font. Yep. I'm missing the human touch in lettering that you used to have in comic.
I agree. I have recently started collecting original comic book art, and I won't buy more modern comic book art because I like the hand lettering on the pages.
Yeah.
And you can tell that it's like digitally put in afterwards. Whereas before, when you were creating the comic, you kind of had to plan where all the words and everything went and get the art around it. And I feel like, at least in some of the books I read, they've done all of the art and they're like, okay, well, where can I fit the words in on the page?
Yeah.
It's yeah. Like, and that's an afterthought.
Just visually, it's there's something jarring about the difference between obviously a hand-drawn piece of art versus now suddenly you're dropping in all this computer font-based text with it. They just don't mesh together very well in my brain.
What do you think, Michael? Does it bother you?
No, it doesn't bother me. Do you think they're actually not handwriting them then? And when they're done digitally, that they have a font that they're typing?
It's so much easier to do that than it is actually letter it by hand. So I can't imagine that they wouldn't be doing it just as a cost savings.
I feel like that's true for a lot of books, because when I look at them, you can compare the letters to each other. And you're like, how is that letter so consistent every single time? Whereas like, you know, when you're reading it in a comic and it's been hand lettered, sometimes you can detect some variations between the way this artist has written a letter simply because of the spacing available, things like that.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not a forensic scientist for comic book fonts, though. Maybe
not the Kathy Reichs of comic book fonts. I got
it. Yeah. And the same thing goes for digital artwork within comic books, because you'll see the hand-drawn stuff, and then when they have like say a missile flying in from nowhere and it's all blurred and everything, you can tell that's been done digitally and it doesn't really blend with the hand-drawn artwork, kind of the way that in that Fantastic Four from the last episode where Reed Richards went into the whatever netherworld with the Watcher and they set the artwork against a photograph,
right?
It's just jarring. It doesn't quite mesh.
Yep. We'll have to have somebody on who's an expert on art, maybe Dan Davis, to talk to us more about all of the different ways that as an artist you approach digital creation versus hand drawing. That would be a fascinating topic. So let's wrap up She-Hulk, though. Does it get you more or less or the same excited for the TV show having read this book? Because I'm hearing that the TV show will be Jennifer Walters as an attorney. That'll be part of her story.
I'm definitely interested in watching the show.
If they take it in the same direction as this particular comic book, my enthusiasm is slightly lower because I feel like that's geared towards more of a young female audience, which obviously is not me. But I'm still willing to give it a shot because Marvel doesn't put out junk.
That is true. Well, I have to say that I'm a big She-Hulk fan and I love this book. So it picks up the best parts of the old series that I used to like, which is, you know, a little lighthearted. The whole single girl in the big city with her own problems that have, you know, not necessarily anything to do with punching bad guys, but just with
being a human.
Yeah. Yeah. The rest of my life is pretty wrecked. And I like that the rest of my life is pretty wrecked. So, hey, here's a supervillain who's really tough. Let's just agree to show up and punch our problems out sometimes and get that out of the way. So I really loved She-Hulk a lot. I like the art, and you know, I've grown to, you know, appreciate Rambo Rowell as a writer for what she does. And it's sort of this little slice of life with a little quirky dialogue, a little bit of wit to it. So I will definitely, this is like on my pull list now at the comic book shop. So with that takes care of She-Hulk, and we will be right back to wrap things up.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. You know the rules. We're not done until one of us can't get up.
It's a staring contest.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's going on?
Wait for it.
Who's breaking the silence?
Here we are. So this week, you know, thanks for joining me, guys. We talked a little bit about, you know, She-Hulk. I loved mixed bag. Jeff, what happened, man? Last week was the love episode, right? Last week is all Valentine's Day, hearts and flowers for everybody, love. And this week maybe didn't hit with you quite so much.
You bad day at work. I'm just going to call it that. Yep. How about that?
Just like She-Hulk, bad day at work.
Right. Only I didn't get to go beat the living crap out of somebody
while in your underpants
with a stop sign while in my underpants in the middle of New York City.
And Michael, you're giving Lion Cat one thumbs up.
I liked Saga.
Okay.
I thought it was good. Again, if I had run into it first as a TV show, I would have immediately been like, yep, I'm going to watch this whole thing.
It is striking. It grabs you right away.
Huh. I kind of get the feeling that a TV show version of this is going to be a little bit like Firefly.
Mm, and I loved Firefly, you did to me. You made me watch season one of Firefly and didn't tell me there wasn't any more seasons. You're so rude.
I know, right?
But we watched the movie.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. Well, that's what we got as fans, except an even worse experience watching it live because they aired half of it, took it off the air, and the ones they did air, they aired out of order. So it's like, oh my god,
awful.
Yes.
Also, it dawned on me when you sent me the list of things we were going to talk about today that you actually bought me the Saga comic book in print,
right?
Years ago,
so that we could talk about it on the podcast.
And then we never did.
It was prescient. It was very forward thinking. Yeah. I knew that we would get to it someday.
I'm having deja vu because I actually already have this comic book. So,
well, we finally had a good reason to talk about it, which is the reintroduction. Fans everywhere were happy. Double-sized issue on shelves now, issue number 55, at the same low price of $2.99 as a regular-sized issue, which by itself is already cheap because most titles are $4.99 now, which, man, I remember being outraged when I had to pay 75 cents for a comic.
Is this inflation? What's happening?
They were 60 cents and it went to 75. I was like, come on. And then all of a sudden a dollar. I'm like, now we're talking bills, not coins. Oh boy, I'm old.
I'm right there with you, bud.
Well, coming up on the Casual Comics Cast, we'll be doing, when we get to March, we'll be doing some review of the Batman. Apparently, Michael and Ryan have super sneak preview.
Yeah, ability. Yeah, we're seeing it on Thursday. Be jealous.
We'll be covering the not-so-secret origins of Moon Knight before the Moon Knight Disney Plus series kicks off. We'll be talking about that. And then we're coming up on, guess what, March Madness. And I got some big plans for comic book madness with some bracket-style discussions. And then, Michael, lastly, maybe we'll pick up you can get a quiz for St. Patrick's Day for us again. That was fun.
Like my last quiz, remember?
I liked it a lot.
Jeff liked it.
I loved it.
You didn't like fun. It.
That's because I don't like to not know the answers to quizzes.
Yeah, you were super judgy.
But also, you said something about somebody, and you know, I'm like, that's not true. That's not true.
I think it was because one of the questions, the answer was the Hulk, and you were like, just because he's green doesn't mean he's Irish.
What was the one where you were trying to? Oh, it was the ugliest characters quiz.
I don't know.
Wasn't
this was like 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was a wonderful quiz.
It was. Your quizzes are
legendary.
They mean the world to me. So maybe we'll have you pull together another quiz. And if not for St. Patrick's Day, then for another occasion. But that's what we got coming up. Stick with us, people. We really appreciate you joining, subscribing, listening, downloading, whatever you're doing. Keep it up. We love it. So thank you so much. Thank you, Jeff and Michael, for joining me to talk about comic books today. And we will talk to everyone soon. Cheers, everybody.
Bye.
Cheers. And cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic book you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter, @CasualComicsGuy. At our blog, CasualComicsGuy.com. Or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.